Let's Talk. We're in the middle of a series on the spiritual gifts. And again, as a reminder, you find those in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. This is part 7 out of 8. Next week, by the way, when we talk about mercy, we're also going to summarize a little bit all these various gifts and try to give you the broader perspective. All of these are available on the website under Media and Let's Talk. And if any of these ideas resonate with you and you find that they're helpful, let me encourage you to go back and just go one by one through them. They're about 8 or 10 minutes long, each one. So appreciate your time. So this is the gift of administration or leadership, is what some others call it. This person has the ability to envision a project, to look at something big that's coming and break it down in its little pieces, see it in its finished form, try to figure out a plan to get there, look at each component part, and then decide if that leader has the skills to deal with that component part. These projects are often so big that there's no way one person can accommodate them. So the administrator or the leader has to have the desire and the skill and the ability to delegate to others, particularly others who have specific skill sets accomplish the various parts. And then the leader helps bring the whole thing together. And then together, with all of his help, the leader can celebrate the victory. Because this leader does not take credit for it himself. And that's not a false assumption. He or she really does not take credit, because what is accomplished cannot be accomplished without the help of other people. The administrator has the skill and ability to energize those he leads by his enthusiasm and his ability to articulate his vision. So our mission as believers is to glorify Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that we should do, to live for him and glorify him. The vision is what is it that it looks like to do that, and how do we get there? And the administrator has this astonishing ability to have a vision and then articulate and communicate it to others. He knows how to delegate to people with appropriate gifts so that they can gain satisfaction by achieving their part of the large project. It's not one individual. Again, I'm repeating an idea, but it's so important. The folks he delegates to gain satisfaction by participating in it. The leader steers the ship. Others trim the sails, paint the hull, repair any damage, and feed the workers. They all have their jobs that are important. These folks celebrate together when they arrive in port, when they get to their destination. Thus, all of these folks share in the accomplishment. A good leader recognizes the value of input and suggestions, even if they're not his. And there comes an issue and a problem for some folks. If it's not my idea, we ain't doing it. Well, that's not a valid leader. That's not a good administrator. A good administrator is pleased with somebody else's ideas that may be even simpler and more direct and more accomplished to get to the goal, to satisfy the overall vision. The administrator should have a natural tendency toward humility. He or she is not thinking about themselves. They're thinking about the project and the goal and how it can be used to glorify the Lord. Now, this ought to come naturally. It's not something that should be worked to acquire. I've got to be humble today because that's what I'm supposed to do. That should be an automatic thing. Administrator should learn, if he needs a little mercy to help him out, he needs to take criticism with grace and an even temper. Sometimes there's a tendency to react to criticism in a negative way, which extinguishes the initiative of those folks that are working with him. So the example from Scripture is in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. It's a little bit long, but listen to all the stuff that Nehemiah did to try to accomplish the rebuilding of Jerusalem. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, seeing that you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart," discouragement maybe, or depression. Then I was very much afraid. He definitely didn't want to look sad in front of the king. That's not good for your career. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it." And the king said to me, and listen to this, and the king said to me, the queen sitting right beside him, always get that input from your queen, "How long will you be gone, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king," and here's the administrator, let letters be given to me, to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah, and let a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy." And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. Then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. And the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. He was even given guards to accomplish what he needed to do. What an amazing project. Now, this project took years and years and years, and there was lots of discouragement along the way. But he could envision what he wanted to accomplish to glorify his God. So let's touch briefly on the negative characteristics. So one is that if the leader's not careful, he or she expects perfection. It's got to be just right. Never will it be just right. Hopefully the vision is flexible enough that we can accomplish what we need without belittling and being hypercritical with the people that work with us. There's a tendency there to micromanage, to get involved in every detail. The administrator needs to be able to delegate, to be able to say, "Here, this part is for you, and I'm going to stay out of it. If you need help, let me know." The administrator can be intolerant of delays. He may try to fail to take responsibility if things don't go well. If things go bad, things go south, we're not accomplishing what we want. There's a tendency for that leader to blame folks, to blame others, and that's a real negative thing. Those folks working for the leader will just give up. They'll become passive, and if they get blamed for doing the things they tried to do and the project didn't go well, they'll just give up and become passive, and little or nothing will be done. There's an error often where the criticizing of the people that work for you should not be done in public. If there's an opportunity to point out a problem or help folks improve, it should be done in private, not in public. Again, public criticism stifles creativity, and creativity is what a leader or an administrator should cherish and desire. Watch out for these kind of pitfalls if you feel that your gift is leadership, and don't step in those chuck holes and get yourself in trouble with all the people trying to help you. So, Lord, I thank you again for the wisdom that's in your word. I pray that the message here of humility for leaders and those in authority would impact those folks out there that have this gift, that would help them realize that it's you working through them and it's not their abilities and their skills that is the primary issue. It's your Holy Spirit working to accomplish great goals. And humility is such a difficult attitude to maintain, but in our heart of hearts where the Holy Spirit dwells, He can help us do that. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.